Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The team, you just see the other team is like, okay, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. It is now 3-0 Florida. Oof, so the route is on.
Especially after Edmonton started hot, you know, but.
Well,
Edmonton won game one, didn't they?
I said this on. Edmonton won game one and they won game three. And I said this on Four Corners. The thing about both of those wins for Edmonton is they won, but it was definitely a situation in my mind when you go back and really look at it where they won, yeah, so you can't take that away from them, but they didn't look like the better team. And Florida, like, Florida has looked like the better team all the way through. And in particular, like, their offensive game, their forecheck has been beyond dominant. Like, Edmonton has had no answer. And part of the reason why Florida's been so good is they have lived in Edmonton's zone. And if you can't put pressure on the other team's goalie, like, you're going to lose games. And so game five in particular, it looked like even when they were 5-on-5, it looked like Florida was on a power play.
Right.
Like they were in complete control. And like, that's what it looks like now. It's the same thing. Like Edmonton at one point, I was like, sure, they have more shots on goal, but if you're just a casual observer watching the game and right. you were trying to base who was better on just what you saw in front of you, you would 1000% be like, Florida's far
the better team. It's so if the Florida wins, right, they won double, have won the last two and been in the last three.
That's back to back. Yep.
But how long ago was Tampa Bay in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Tampa Bay was like 2012-ish.
Was it that long ago?
Okay. No, it wasn't. It wasn't that long ago. Recent. No, they've had a recent run. So the Blues won in 19. Then there was COVID. Tampa Bay. I'll just do this. Tampa.
They were in 2022.
Bay. That's so. What it was. But they'd won a couple of earlier, I want to say.
And they were in 2021. The reason why I'm asking this question is because, and they were in 2020.
Right. They were a three-peat.
So, and then the Blues won 2019. So we have had six straight Stanley Cup. Florida is the new hockey town, basically. Florida is hockey state at this point.
I can't, there's a whole term for it. I can't remember what people in Florida call, but yeah. They also have a cup in 2004, and then they didn't win the cup in 2022. They just made the finals,
right?
And same thing still, in 2015. But they
Florida didn't win it in 2023. So,
winning back to back Stanley Cups is hard enough.
But going the three straight,
nothing short of miraculous.
Going the three straight, and having two Florida teams go to three straight back to back is not that the state itself had anything to do with it, but like. It's just pretty remarkable, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%. I think
so if Florida does what you believe, and I would be kind of believe as well, and closes out the Stanley Cup final tonight, and then Oklahoma closes it out for the NBA finals on Thursday, we will have had both finals and in six games, with both champions losing games 1 and 3.
Yep. It'd
be very interesting.
It's interesting. It's sports are, isn't it? Sports are fun like that. Quirky, weird-ass coincidence and numbers really and shit like that that just pops up all the time.
That's one of the few ways, like people always compare UFC to wrestling, right? And UFC can have a shitty main event, a clunker, a really boring unanimous decision. And they always say that's the big thing that wrestling has on them is that because it's scripted, you can kind of determine that the main event's not going to be boring. And if it is, then that's an even bigger problem because it was written in a certain way. So, but that's your hockey and basketball analysis for the day. Now we can talk about wrestling. And we're not going to talk about Goldberg returning to wrestle Gunther. I have a different topic, one that I'd rather talk about. But we will talk about why we're not talking about Goldberg versus Gunther, because that's what we do here on the program, which is, of course, the Babyface Heel Podcast.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
As we welcome the show in with what I believe to be royalty-free music to keep the Spotify happy. Every few days, I get like 80 emails from Spotify. Just over the course of like 2 hours, just every couple minutes, new email pops in. Potential violation, potential violation. And it's always old episodes of things. Bandwagon nerds, pod is war, you name it. Like just old shit comes through. Well, and sometimes I'll look at one and it'll be like, you know, WWE theme from The Shield. And then right after it'll be like Lionel Richie all night long. Like it'll just literally be stuff that we do. That's why we're trying not to do that anymore on this here program. He's Patrick O'Dowd at Wrestling Realist. You already know the drill, but it's WrestlingRealist. I'm Greg DeMarco 44. The website is, of course, chairshot.com at Chairshot Media. So earlier today, this is why I don't want to talk about, this is not why I don't want to talk about Goldberg returning to face Gunther, but this is a prime example of it. Earlier today, I was listening to some sports talk radio, as I love to do. It's actually while I was exercising right before we started recording. And they were making fun of the people who complain about Aaron Rodgers. Not the people that complain about the Aaron Rodgers things, but they complain about, I'm tired of talking about Aaron Rodgers. And they're like, first of all, you're living the dream. You're getting paid to talk about sports into a camera. Second of all, then don't talk about Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's just, you know, you're complaining that you have to talk about what you have to do when you're making six or seven figures to do so. So it is what it is. And they're just blaming the system, blaming the process. I don't feel like talking about Goldberg and Gunther. And it, as you said earlier, before we started recording, we also don't tend to talk about the same thing that every other podcast in the world is going to be talking about right now. And they're probably going to be talking about Goldberg returning to go one-on-one with Gunther. Now, some of them have talked about it because it was rumored, but then he comes back because everyone wants to be trending and viral and whatever. And we just want to do good podcasting. Sometimes we want to do bad podcasting, and we don't want to do bad podcasting. It just kind of ends up happening.
Exactly. No pop.
But there is something, and I sent Patrick O'Dowd a link, and there's an interesting interview that took place recently with Charlotte Flair. And this interview has, the reason why I want to talk about this is not because I want to talk about Charlotte Flair, even though if the show was named LOL Charlotte Wins Again, just know that I did that on purpose. But Charlotte Flair, there was an interview that I read with her, and there's a couple of reasons why I like this interview outside of her comments, which is the number one reason. Number one reason is because she was on Julian Edelman's Games with Names podcast, and they were talking Survivor Series 2018 and how it led up to WrestleMania 35, which, of course, was Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch, the first time that women would main event WrestleMania. Now, one of the reasons why I like this is because this is a real sports podcast, not a wrestling websites podcast. And I'm not trying to shit on anybody who does wrestling website podcasts, because we do that. But there's no, Charlotte Flair can't go on Names with Games with Julian Edelman and push an agenda, right? If you go on PW Insider or PW Torch or Fightful in one of their podcasts, you can use them and you can manipulate them to get whatever message out you want to do. It's just like how wrestlers will leak information to the dirt sheets because they want a certain thing to get out there. You're not doing that when you go on Ariel Helwani, or maybe Ariel's a big wrestling fan and I think would love to be in the business because I think he gets it, but you're not going on Julian Edelman or Dan Patrick or Rich Eisen, which Seth Rollins has done several times. You're not going on there and getting your agenda out. Like, you're just not. It just doesn't gonna work that way. And so I love that aspect of interviews like this, because I think it takes the wrestlers out of the storyline character mode, because they're being interviewed normally as real people, as athletes and things of that nature. And that's how Charlotte Flair was being interviewed here. So that's not why I want to talk about this, but that's just setting the table of why I love interviews like this, because we've all heard it before. Like, and we never did that when we were doing interviews. We rarely push an agenda because rarely was it, you know, anything off limits. So I like interviews like this.
It's not to say that we didn't have an occasional kayfabe interview, by the way.
That is true. I can't even remember who you might be referring to, in all honesty.
Usually at the talent fair. Well, I think one of our first ever interviews with Papadon was all about pushing whatever.
Yeah, he always tried to do that. He lives the gimmick, and that's part of the thing there.
We've had a couple here or there. We've also had some.
I remember we interviewed years ago. It was right around Valentine's Day. We were bringing couples on the program, and we brought Silas Young and Val Malone on the podcast. And they're not together anymore, but at the time they'd been married for several years. And we kick things off, and Silas Young is in his full last real man,
yes,
pissed off at the world character. And within 5 minutes, he was talking like a normal dude, because we're talking about fun stuff and we're talking about relationships. And I think that was something. Adam Cole, remember, we had Adam Cole on right after he turned on the world to become the big heel Ring of Honor world champion. And we're like, you're the nicest human being on the planet. I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, right.
And he was just like, so yeah.
We once interviewed Sue Young right after she changed into her current gimmick. And she talked to us she stayed full on. It was the Sue Young we know and love.
Yeah. And there were times where, and I don't mind telling this now, there are times where I would talk to her about coming on, and she couldn't because of the gimmick. And so that was, you know, because she couldn't really stay in character on the pod. Plus, she knew there's no way in hell she could stay in character with us during a podcast, because we're just not going to hold back.
Yeah, because we'll make yellow fever jokes.
Exactly. And we had history of years that we could easily lean on and couldn't not do. So it just wouldn't work. But no, this interview with Charlotte Flair with Julian Edelman really jumped out at me. Because they were really talking about the part where we pick it up is when they're talking about that WrestleMania 35 main event. And it's interesting. She starts off talking about how it was the main event of a one night WrestleMania. And that's been the only time that women have main evented a one night only WrestleMania, because when Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks did it, it was WrestleMania 37, which was a two night WrestleMania. And that's the last time women have main evented WrestleMania, by the way. But I'm not here to talk about that today. Save that for another one. But here's where we're going to pick it up with what Charlotte Flair has to say about Ronda Rousey. She says, we would not have main evented WrestleMania had it not been for Ronda Rousey. Hands down. When she wanted to join what we had already started in to build, but her star power, her credibility, her outside influence, the audience that she brought, and kudos to her. I know that, you know, someone said in her book that she couldn't wrestle, but at the end of the day, it didn't really matter. She was Ronda and she didn't need to. She had such an aura to her and really did figure it out and brought that much to the table. So I thank her for what she did for us, because she didn't have to come wrestle. She had already done it all and it was real. So she just added the legitimacy to what we were trying to do that we didn't have, and that she caught on. I hated our Mania 35 match. She, Ronda Rousey, liked it. I hated it. That's the ending. It's all about the story. The match, but the story. The story was insane. And I love this quote because, first of all, in character, Charlotte Flair would tell us what? That she's responsible for women being in the main event of WrestleMania because she's the queen. She's everything. But I hear this and the way she's talking about Ronda Rousey, and she's like, we wouldn't have been in the main event without Ronda, blah, 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 blah. That's someone who gets it. Like, she understands why these things happen.
But why wouldn't she? Like, for all of the bombast of her father and her lineage, she grew up. It's the same thing with Cody. Like, whether you like Cody's character or not, I used to talk about this all the time. Like, would it, when he came, why are you laughing?
Because I hate Cody's character. We all know this. So,
well, it's not about the character,
though. Right, I get
it's about,
it. Oh, yeah.
It's about the dude and it's about the dude and knowing what's up. Like,
yes, yeah, he definitely knows what's up.
Like, Cody understood, even when he wasn't happy with his place in the WWE before he left, like, and went to go make his way in AEW, like, you understand how the WWE in particular works. Because AEW does not operate the same way that the WWE does with some of these. I'm not saying all the time, but, like, I do think that there is a different business model at play there when it comes to card construction and how stuff gets put out and pushed and who is prioritized. Like Charlotte's right. Ronda was the star. She was the one that got him there. Now that it isn't Charlotte saying that everybody else sucked around her. In fact, she's saying the opposite. But Charlotte, grew up around Ric Flair.
Right?
Ric Flair put on shows. Ric Flair stepped aside for Hogan at WCW because he understood what Hogan, and love or hate the guy, but at the time, he understood what Hogan meant to elevating WCW. Like, he just did. And I think that he may, when he's in character, deny it, but I think deep down he knows that he wouldn't have stepped aside.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. So
I can't. It does not surprise me to see that kind of quote out of Charlotte. It's very easy to dislike Charlotte Flair.
It is,
right? Like nepo baby sort of mindset that people have. People feeling like she got quote, like we have the joke, LOL, Charlotte wins, but. Quotes like that tell you all you need to know about who Charlotte Flair is as far as her business savvy and recognizing where the bread gets buttered and how it works.
And I wonder if, I don't know at what point she crossed that line, right? Because I do believe maybe even around WrestleMania 35, because you got to remember, like, that was 2019. It was a long fucking time ago at this point.
Yeah,
maybe at that time she may not have said that in an interview. You know, who knows? But no, she gets it. And that's it. And I do think that you talk about, well, what would she say? I think there are a lot of people out there who don't think she would say this because they do have a hard time separating the character with the person. And Charlotte doesn't really let you in that much. When she tried to, when she had an emotional promo about being out for a year and having an injury and a divorce, people shit all over her because they were not able to separate the character with the human being. And I think that's what they were going for. And now, of course, she's off TV again, but and maybe not permanently. I mean, Orton leaves for a few weeks and comes back, and maybe Charlotte will come back as part of the build to SummerSlam. Who knows? Right. But that's what WWE can do these days. But it's just so interesting because I think that people see that and hear that and they just think a certain thing, and Charlotte has a lot to do with it, but she, it is the way she portrays herself. People do have a hard time because, again, there's still an element of the fan base that kind of does wish this was real and kind of wants to believe and wants it to be real.
You see it in the way that they respond to anything that happens, whether it be in recent memory, how R-Truth was let go, brought back, was,
right.
That everybody wants a good, was it a work
shoot,
sort of side of the business.
Like, they want to know. They
want to know, and they want to feel like, and they want to feel like the ones who, like, I see this all the time amongst our own friends, amongst people on the internet. The incessant need to not only want to know, but to be able to say you quote unquote called it, that you were right.
Right.
Is another side of it too. Like, so many people, like, the second R-Truth was let go, whether they knew anything or not, were going in both. Like, there was the outrage, like, that we responded to and we were not bothered by. And then there was the number of people who started screaming that it was a work, it was a work, it was a work. So that when he came back, they could be like, I told you so.
And that's it's so smart, because some people will literally say it's a work just in case that motherfucker comes back. Like, they don't actually believe it's a work. They're just saying it's a work so that they can later claim credit for it when they come back.
I don't like people saying the Montreal Screwjob was a work.
But that I truly believe was a work. So, and again, and we can wait till November to talk about this again. Remember, I only think it's a work in the fact that I think Brett was clued into what was going to happen and went along with it. I believe everyone else who's pissed off and was not, I don't believe Bruce Pritchard knew. I don't believe The Undertaker knew. I don't believe anybody else knew. I think of all the people that are reported to know, Vince McMahon, Shawn Michaels, Earl Hebner, and Jerry Briscoe, I think the only other person in that circle is Bret Hart. So people think the work, and that's why they're like, we would know by now. And I'm like, the only person who would be lying right now is Bret Hart. Again, just like WrestleMania 30, I believe that was the plan all along, and people get all mad about that too. So it is what it is. But I just found this one so fascinating because, again, she gets it. And then you look at stuff that we've talked about all the time, right? Remember, and it's really funny, we talk about Logan Paul. And everybody loves to hate on Logan Paul, even though for a guy who's had, 10 or 12 matches at this point? Yeah, you love Logan Paul, and I do too. Because, again, we get it, and he gets it. And even Logan Paul didn't get it at first. Remember, he wanted to be a babyface. Like, when he had his first match with The Miz, The Miz turned on him so Logan could be a babyface. At some point, it clicked for him when he realized, I'm not a babyface. I am a heel. Like, you know, if he was the babyface heel of the week, which I hadn't even thought of for today, Logan Paul would be such an easy one to talk about because it's obvious what he was better at. And that's where it's at for him. But you look at how much the internet hates Logan Paul, but yet they love Bad Bunny when he wrestles.
Right.
And they're not really any different other than the fact that Logan Paul's probably a better wrestler than Bad Bunny is.
Right.
But besides that, they're not that different. Yeah. Like he's got way more matches. He's done all that. But we like Bad Bunny the person. So we like him as a wrestler.
But he makes music that people like, right? Like, if you make good music and people like you and you can do a springboard off the top rope, then.
Right. Whereas Logan Paul made his money being controversial and doing bad things in some cases, and then boxing, and
that's the other part. I mean, that is the other part of it. When you bring a celebrity in, or somebody who has a persona that exists outside of the world of wrestling, that gets brought in as the
character. Of course.
So, we're predisposed to hate Logan Paul,
right?
Less so for Bad Bunny.
No, we're predisposed to love Bad Bunny. We're predisposed to hate Logan Paul. So let's use that in their characters, which is when they're at their best. I do think that someday they could run with Logan Paul versus Bad Bunny, your first ever 100% celebrity match, and it would be a hell of a spectacle and fun to watch. And
it'd be something.
You know what's interesting is that I would love to go back and find some of the biggest detractors of Logan Paul and just scroll through their Twitter feed, or use AI to run through their Twitter feed and find the tweets where they say Chris Benoit should be in the Hall of Fame. Because there's so many people who think Chris Benoit should be in the Hall of Fame, but hate Logan Paul. I guarantee you those people exist. And they'll tell you, you got to separate Chris Benoit, the wrestler, from Chris Benoit, the person. But then they will hate Logan Paul. Don't. And they'll hate Hulk Hogan, by the way. And I'm all for hating Hulk Hogan, but you can't hate Hulk Hogan and love Chris Benoit. It's just not. And I'm not saying the two are equal. It's not an equivalency thing that I'm doing, but it's the...
Right.
You're separating the person from the wrestler in one instance and refusing to do so in the other instance. Just be consistent is what I'm getting at. But it's also interesting, like, and I don't know, and I just now thought of this, but celebrity wrestlers in the past were never any good. And I don't know what it is about Bad Bunny and Logan Paul where they came in and got good. Is it the training of the day? Is it the wrestlers being open to it? I don't know.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that Logan Paul in particular, like, wanted to do this for real. Not just for the pop and the paycheck and the brief headlines that it would make the next month, you know, the following Monday after the pay-per-view they appeared in. And, you know, I also think they take it more seriously. Like, I think, you know, you look at this, like, look at celebrities who have stepped in the ring in the past. And I guess, how do you define a celebrity? Because, like, Jay Leno stepped in a wrestling ring.
Right.
And it was like, hey, look how much fun I'm having. I'm Jay Leno in a wrestling ring. And that's how he looked at wrestling. And then that's how his participation was. And that was fine.
That's all he was approached to do, probably. Yeah.
At the end of the day, that WCW got what they wanted. Jay Leno had fun and got to do whatever it was that he wanted to do. The other people I've seen who kind of stepped in and put in the work in a way that was somewhat meaningful, love him or hate him, sporadic behavior notwithstanding in real life, Dennis Rodman put in the time.
Yeah.
Now he wasn't, you know, Frank Gotch or anything, but like he put in enough effort and time to be competent in the ring and people could, after that was over, be like, huh, he really wasn't so bad.
Yeah. It's funny because you talk about Dennis Rodman, way better than Karl Malone was. Both athletes, both great. But yeah, it's just interesting. And I do think and some of these celebrities were approached. Whereas I think Logan Paul and Bad Bunny wanted to do this and came in. Then you look like Mr. T, right? Mr. T, and I would need to go back and watch WrestleMania 1 and WrestleMania 2 to see how he did. Because I don't remember the quality of Mr. T.
No.
Yeah, well, that was a boxing match. Like, that's...
Right. Well, but it was a boxing match and the absolute worst person to try and put in a boxing match with Mr. T. Like, what? Because Piper was so protective of himself.
Of course, yes.
And his gimmick and his character. He wasn't about to step off to Mr. T. Yeah. So that had its own problems.
And that's the other thing, too.
The point is,
wrestlers nowadays
have to do much.
Wrestlers nowadays will lose to these people. Like,
right.
They don't mind. Like Damian Priest had no problem losing to Bad Bunny. You know, Logan Paul's beaten plenty of, you know, wrestlers in the ring. And so I think we're getting Logan Paul versus John Cena at some point.
Sami Zayn wrestled Johnny Knoxville, right?
Yes, sir. WrestleMania 39.
Okay, that's correct. 38. That's right. I was like, I know that happened at WrestleMania, and I know that Sami ended up losing that match.
Of course he did. Of course Sami lost that match.
You know.
And then by the end of the year, was literally the pivotal member of the Bloodline. So
right. Making people break up in the ring.
And Sami Zayn is probably mark the tape. Sami Zayn is probably going to have his WrestleMania moment next year. If I were to guess, I think we're getting world champion Seth Rollins versus challenger Sami Zayn at WrestleMania 42. That's what I would guess.
Okay.
And Sami Zayn finally wins the big one. I just feel like they're setting that up long term. I have no, you know, because Seth's got the briefcase now, and there's so much that can happen. So bold prediction, maybe not so bold prediction, but I think we get to Sami Zayn versus Seth Rollins for the big one at WrestleMania 42. It's easier to do those things now with a 2-day WrestleMania. It really, truly is.
Right.
And it's an easy formula to follow. We already did it with Sami Zayn and Gunther. So Right. We just follow it up with Sami Zayn and Seth Rollins. Like, it's just easy to do. Very, very easy to do. So,
well, all right. And he can hold the title for 49 days and Rikishi can be pissed about it.
51. Rikishi, 51.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. My bad.
Here's the thing about that. And Jey Uso tell us.
We were going to do this. We were going to do this.
That's okay. Jey Uso didn't tell his family about winning the Rumble or anything else. For all we know, Jey knew going in when he was going to lose. There's a pretty good chance that was the plan. Like, as someone who books wrestling, and we always love Chuck, Greg's a promoter, there are plenty of times when a wrestler wins a title and already knows when they're going to lose it. And that's okay. Like, that's, it's all part of the plan. Like, it's better to let people know that up front, or to let them know, I don't know when we're going to have you lose the title right now. I want to see how it goes. Right. We've done that before as well. So, it's, you know, and then you end up with the longest title run in your promotion's history. Like, those things can happen too. So people will be fine. But then you have your champion defending at other promotions and you didn't even know they were going to do it. And you're like, okay, cool. As long as they don't lose. So,
Don't lose.
It's the big one right there, right? Don't lose. All right, we're going to do a commercial. We're going to come back. We got ourselves a list that we are going to have some fun with. And then, yeah, more to come. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, folks. PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You just made the list!
That sound means it is time to make the list. Patrick O'Dowd texted earlier in the day, not that long ago, about an idea for a list this week, and we're going to have some fun with it. So the list of this week does fall in line with the return of Goldberg and wrestling Gunther as Saturday night's main event, which maybe we'll talk about as we get closer. Who the hell knows? But it's a little bit of a lengthy title. It is the list of legends you'd still want to see wrestle. So the list of legends you would still want to see wrestle. A couple rules that we've established. These are living folks who are wrestling in their current physical condition. All right, Goldberg that's coming out to wrestle Gunther at Saturday night's main event is not Goldberg from the late 90s. This is Goldberg in 2025. That's what we're talking about, right? Wrestlers now, this is Sting in AEW. This is whatever, like coming out and their current shape and their current condition and wrestling. So we're not bringing Eddie Guerrero or Owen Hart back. Lex Luger is confined to a wheelchair, so we're not going to say I want Lex Luger to wrestle, so that means he can physically walk again. Like, no, we're not changing someone's physical condition. If you want to see your Lex Luger wrestler, then you're putting that motherfucker in the ring in a wheelchair, and that's bad booking.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's true. So I didn't think that was going to be funny.
He can stand now, you know.
He could be in a tag team match and never get tagged in. Okay, got it. Right. Got it. We're still not going to put Lex Luger on the list. My apologies. If you had Lex Luger on your...
I don't know why I found that so funny.
I know, right? Me neither. Because it made me laugh, too. Like, you make yourself laugh.
It was literally me picturing Lex Luger sitting in the middle of the ring in a fucking wheelchair.
Right?
Just, like, sitting there.
Batista's done it. JBL has done it. Apparently, Lex Luger's going to do it as well. So, all right. So even though it's second time in a row, it's my list, which means Patrick O'Dowd gets to go first. We will name our six people, put them on the list. Then we will put that list in order. Dude, maybe talk about some honorable mentions.
Harder for me than I thought it was going to be.
Really? Okay.
Well, here's why. One, because their current physical condition, like, do I want to see that? Two, like, if I've already seen them before.
Right.
Like, even like previously, like, I didn't really consider that. So, like,
okay, that's fine. It's your list.
For example, I would argue Edge, who is still an active wrestler,
right?
But like, Edge is a legend. I have seen Edge. It's fun. I've enjoyed him.
Right, but because Edge is active. Yeah, we wouldn't put Edge on the list because he's active. A few years ago, we absolutely would have put Edge on the list.
But even like the semi, like some of the, like I'm like a semi-retired count, does this count? But anyway,
right.
All of that put aside. So I got some people who you would argue are part-timers. I got some people that are on their retirement tours or may have finished their retirement tour.
Okay.
But the first one that I'm going to pick, though, actually is going to be a little bit of, I don't know if I'd call it a surprise.
Okay.
But probably not the name you would think I would name first. But I love what he's doing in retirement when he does come out of retirement. And that is clothesline midgets. And so I am putting JBL on my list.
Okay.
Because I actually like JBL more now that he is not a full-time wrestler or a wrestler that I watch regularly than when he was an active member. Like the only time I've ever seen JBL live was the dark match at Raw that we saw, which had the best pyro of the show, not for anybody.
The only pyro of the show. It was the only pyro of the show.
didn't we get Booker T flames?
Maybe we did. I don't know. I didn't think we did.
But anyway.
But we got Batista pyro. And the sad thing, we've told this before, is that this was back when Raw would be on a Monday and SmackDown would have a house show on a Monday. And Batista versus JBL was a SmackDown world title match, which meant SmackDown house show didn't have Batista or JBL there because we got him at Raw for some reason. Now, it was in Mohegan Sun in Connecticut and not too far from Stamford, so there could have been plenty of reasons for it. Who the hell knows? But, yeah.
Sorry.
Also, the first time that Patrick ever got to see CM Punk, because he also wrestled in a dark match before the show against Val Venus.
So, Phil.
His first WWE match. We saw it. We were there, folks. We were there. So, all right. So JBL is your first person on the list. I think JBL, one thing he has not done during this entire thing is wrestle a match. So you cannot argue that JBL doesn't qualify for this, especially because I got somebody who might make my list later who I think is so fringe. You could argue. And if you do, that's okay. But, the first person that I'm putting on my list is, one that it may surprise some people, but really shouldn't. If you know me, it almost happened a few years ago, although I don't think it was ever actually going to happen. It was just part of a storyline. I would love to see good old Adam Pearce get to lace him up one more time and step in the ring. So Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, a close friend of the program, is one that I would love to see get back in the ring one last time and lace him up, as they like to say.
So Adam Pearce is a legend now?
Close enough.
I mean, I get it. He's a legend to you.
He's a five-time world champion.
Yes, the NWA world champion. I'm sorry. Why are you making me hate on Adam Pearce, dude?
Just because he won the title in a high school gym doesn't mean anything. Come on now. It's
a bingo hall. It was a bingo hall.
Probably won. Okay. Well, he did win it five times, so it's probably a bingo hall and a high school gym in those times.
So, okay. So, Before you go on,
because you were joking bingo hall and whatever in the NWA world title, I still remember you and I going to Ring of Honor Respect Is Earned 2 in Philly, and Adam Pearce is on the card in a six-man tag when he actually reveals the NWA Heavyweight Championship for the first time in Ring of Honor. And it was the same night as like the NWA 62nd anniversary show or something like that. And Pearce wasn't there. He was at Ring of Honor. And a fan in the crowd literally yells out, "Pearce came here instead of the NWA because they pay more." And Pearce just looks at him and goes, "Yep."
Yep.
And then at the end of the match reveals the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. So just little anecdotes about Adam Pearce. There's lots of them.
Yeah, I really struggle with this. Okay. I think if he came back for one more match, he would still have one more match in him. And there are entrances, and then there are all time entrances. And you know, we got to see this guy retire Shawn Michaels, but that the Undertaker is still a guy that it just doesn't matter to me. And it's funny because, like I said, it was really hard to find people that I would want to see that I also hadn't already seen previously. I only saw The Undertaker wrestle one time, and that was at WrestleMania. And, like, what a great time. You know, it was not the best Undertaker Shawn Michaels match. That was the year before, but it was still a pretty darn good Undertaker Shawn Michaels match. And I have never been able to, like, I would love to see him in an arena where it gets to actually go dark.
Right.
Where it went dark for that one.
It was nighttime by that point. We only got like two matches in the dark of that WrestleMania, but yeah.
With an open roof in the Arizona night. So I don't know, man. It doesn't feel the same.
I get
it. And I think you know what I mean by it. Like,
of course.
It felt more impactful when he tipped his hat to Shawn Michaels the next night on Monday Night Raw and did that appearance than his appearance for...
You know, I hate outdoor wrestling, so it's I'm with you.
Right. Undertaker is my next
one. Interesting. Undertaker was one that I thought of and yet had decided no, because I have no desire to see him wrestle again. Like, I'm good on Undertaker, but I get it. And it is more about the entrance, of course, and that they still get it because he's still around. They still get to do the lights out and the gong and all that. Which the internet somehow turned the Undertaker's gong into the Undertaker's dong at some point in history. So that's what they did. I am going with another wrestler who delivered WrestleMania Classic with Shawn Michaels, and a guy that people are going to be so upset that I put on the list because of his physical condition, but he could still do it. And look, the guy won an Olympic gold medal with a broken freaking neck. So if he wanted to come back and wrestle one more match, Kurt Angle absolutely could come back and wrestle one more match. I still love the picture of when he did the entrance with the Shield, when he had to fill in for somebody, and it was like the uncle walking down the thing with the nephews. So I am putting Kurt Angle, the pen that I've been using to take notes for this show for the past like 3 years is now finally going to die on me. But Kurt Angle is the next, my next addition to this here list.
Excellent addition to the list.
Of course, it's Kurt Angle.
So I'm going to Japan.
Okay.
For this legend. This legend, I'm cheating a little bit because he's on his retirement tour currently.
I don't know about this one.
But I will never see him wrestle. Like, I don't think I will ever see him wrestle. And that's the only reason why I feel this is fair. Because I do not know that I'm ever going to see Hiroshi Tanahashi wrestle.
Me neither.
And in person. And so I think it's fair game because while he is currently on his, you know, retirement tour and will end, Wrestle Kingdom 26, I think is his last match, is what it's out there, Wrestle Kingdom 20. It's a fitting place to retire and to do whatever it is he's going to do after that. Since I will never see him, I think it's fair, and I'm going to put him on there, even if he's number six on the list at the end.
I mean, it's your addition to the list, you know? I think it's close enough. I think the caveat that you'll never get to see him makes it fine with me, especially because I am torn between two, and one is a little more suitable to the list than the other. I'm torn between three, but I'm leaving one off because of that legend status that you joked on me about with Adam Pearce.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's totally fine. It's whatever. He won't be mad at you. And I have a really hard time choosing between the two, but I'm not going to do a tie. It's bullshit stuff. So I'm gonna give you one, and I'm gonna let you decide if you want to veto that one or not. And then if you do want to veto that one, because this person may still make the occasional indie wrestling appearance, limits that fully to his own promotion in Texas. There's a dream match that a lot of people want to see in NXT where this guy would fight Trick Williams. Trick Williams has been advocating for it. I think this person would do it if they threw enough money in front of him. And that is, of course, five-time world champion Booker T, who you mentioned earlier. He is the one that I would like to put last on the list if I am allowed to do so.
I mean, in fairness, you're allowing my Tanahashi.
That is true.
I think it's legit. We don't see Booker T wrestle.
We do not. But we see him commentate every single week, but we don't see him wrestle.
Right. He doesn't wrestle. So I think it's fair. I think it's okay. A legit legend.
Got it. Very, very good.
By the way, I had Kurt Angle.
Did you?
On my list as well.
Okay.
And then the other one that I left off, because I even though I loved him, and it's depending on who you ask, they would call him a legend. I just don't think he ever hit the legendary height that I would have loved him to, was my boy Christopher Daniels.
Yep. I would have allowed it to be on the list. I thought about him as well. I'm actually really mad. When I was thinking before, the whole time I planned this list, the one guy I planned to put on the list I forgot about, and that's DDP. I had every intention of putting Diamond Dallas Page on the list because of everybody we've talked about, he's probably in the best shape, except maybe Booker T. Yeah. And because it's literally his life now is about getting people into better shape. And so DDP was one that I thought about. At the end, I was picking between Booker T and Mickie James, since she is largely done. And that's another one that I would want to see. I disqualified Nick Aldis off the list because he's only 36 and I just don't think he's done yet. I think he'll wrestle at some point. Maybe he's 37 now. I don't know. He's a little younger than like Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns and like all kinds of people who are wrestling regularly.
Right.
But that's that one. I kind of wanted to put Rikishi on the list just so he could complain about how he was booked. That was one that I thought about, but ultimately decided against it. And then I thought it would be funny to put Mick Foley on the list, but I just couldn't do it because no one wants to see that.
The other one that I thought about, and again, this is me not knowing anything about the man's condition or shape or anything like that. I just love every time he's been on as a character, William Regal. He entertains me.
I bet he's got one more in him, and I bet he's saving it for his son. That's my guess.
That makes sense.
I have no inkling to know what if that's true or not, but I'm surprised he's been back long enough to be on television, and they don't put him on television.
I know we're done with the list. Do you think Scott Steiner ends up back somewhere with all the chatter he's making right now with the Steiner boys and what they're doing, with Braun Breaker currently in the company, and is it his son? You got Jordan Grace in there. There's just so much.
His son, I think, is either recently signed or is like,
he's on that like college program thing.
Along with like Mark Henry's son and somebody else's son.
Right.
Titus O'Neil's son.
But it got me to think with Braun and Jordan and now him, could that be something, or is he too toxic?
I don't think he's too toxic, especially not at this point. They induct him in the Hall of Fame, all that. Rick's probably more toxic. Because of politics right now. But I think that's largely blown over as well. Scott, I remember in the past couple of months seeing an interview with Scott where he was asked about it, and he was just like, no, I can't do this anymore. It's a young person's game now, so I'm out. So I think he would have qualified for sure as an option for the list. Because I do think he's done. I do think he could. I mean, I remember when he did some stuff for Impact a few years ago, WrestleMania weekend. He looked pretty rough. And that was like 2020, 2021. Like Penta was their champion. Stuff like that. Jushin Liger was one that I thought about putting on the list, even though he just recently retired. He was one. As was the great Muda, but I don't want to see Muda of today. I want to see, 1989 Muda, 1988 Muda. So that's more of again, that caveat of it has to be the wrestler today that we want to see. As soon as I thought of this thing, I was like, there's no way in hell we put Jerry Lawler on the list. There's no way in hell we put Ric Flair on the list. These are heart attacks.
It was just such a non-starter.
Yeah.
even Sting, like, I couldn't bear to watch Sting.
It was surprising how good, again, I was, and it didn't even hit me at the time. I was at his second to last match when he was here in Phoenix, when he and who the hell did he team with? Was it Ricky Starks? No, they lost to Ricky Starks. Who? Oh, Darby Allin. When they beat Ricky Starks and Big Bill for the tag titles here in Phoenix to defend against the Young Bucks in Sting's last match, he looked way better than you would think. I mean, he dove off the rafters,
yeah,
down to the floor, sure, right by where we were sitting. And I remember looking at some people who also came that are also involved in the wrestling with me, and we just shook our heads, like, why is he doing this? So yeah, Sting was one that I never considered either. I thought about his name, but was like, no, not then. Plus, it happened so recently, as some of the other ones have. So,
right.
Yeah, but there's definitely some people that could have been on the list. We could have done. So we're going to,
for allowing my Tanahashi pick to stand.
Yeah, you let my Booker T pick stand. So it's all good. We are going to go commercial break number two. We're going to come back and put this list in order here on the Babyface Heel Podcast.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
You just made the list.
We are back here on the podcast, and we are making the list of legends you'd still want to see wrestle. So whether it's one more match or whatever you want to call it, legends you would still want to see wrestle. We have JBL, Adam Pearce, The Undertaker, Kurt Angle, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Booker T. That is one hell of a list of people in general. Now we've got to put it in order. Remember, this is not a top six list. This is just our list that we are putting in order. It was my list. So Patrick went first. I will get to go second, or I will get to go first now. And we will start putting these folks in order from 1 to 6. And I got to be honest with you, this is hard. Like, normally there's a clear cut number one when it's my turn to go number one, and it's super easy. Last week was super easy, or last time, 2 weeks ago. And I am struggling to decide who I want to put number one on the list. You could really not go wrong either way, not go wrong with what you do, but I am going to go ahead and just put a personal favorite in the Olympic gold medalist, Kurt Angle, number one on the list of legends I'd still want to see wrestle. By the way, we only mentioned Shawn Michaels in reference to other wrestlers. We never considered putting Shawn Michaels on the list either,
because I was so satisfied with the way the amount of times I saw him wrestle, and I got to see him go out, quote unquote go out.
If we could change someone's physical condition, I might have put Triple H on the list, but can't.
Right,
he's got a pacemaker. Not going to happen.
He's done.
Your turn.
I am going to insert my first pick, because I think actually what I thought, JBL was the first name that came to my brain that I was like, I really would like to see him. And so JBL.
No, I get it. I do get it. I don't mind it. He was my other consideration for
I actually really love that pick.
Yeah, it's a great pick. It's a great pick. And I think that, like I said, he was my other consideration for number one, just because of everything he's doing right now. He has not wrestled a match. And I think that, and supposedly he keeps saying there's a plan. And like, I don't know if I believe it, because how long is this shit going to go on? But who knows? I don't know. Third person on the list for me it's down to two to decide which one I want to put at number three. And I'm going, they're both very storyline driven. They would both be storyline driven. And I'm going with the one that already has the more clear cut storyline. And that is the match against Trick Williams that everybody wants to see. So I am going with Booker T as number three on the list, purely because of the potential match with Trick Williams.
And I'm going to go with, And this is after the last time we did the list and we just each took each other's picks. I think this time is a little bit different.
I think it is.
But I'm going with Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Okay.
Because I think of all the people that, like, and it's weird because I still think there's a chance I'll catch an AEW show where I could see Okada, and you know, and he's still wrestling or something.
Well,
like
that doesn't count.
Anymore, like I, yeah. Right? But I'm just saying, like when I think of all the people who I have the potential to like never see wrestle,
right?
You know, Tanahashi on this year out, I'm not going to see him, and I don't know that I ever will get to see him. So this one's going to be a pick of regret.
That's interesting. I did not, when you were like, oh, next, I assumed you were just going to say The Undertaker, and you didn't. So
nope.
Especially after you were like, Tanahashi can be number six. And then we put him at number four, but it's fine. I put Booker T at number three. I thought my pick here was going to be simple because you were going to pick The Undertaker and it would be an easy one for me. And now you're making it more difficult between the two. But again, I never considered putting The Undertaker on the list because I'm good. And I really, I got so excited when they were going to go with Roman Reigns versus Adam Pearce at a Royal Rumble match in the Thunderdome. And then it ended up being Kevin Owens. And I just believe that the story could be there for Adam Pearce. And it is self-serving on my part as well. So I am going to go ahead and do what I thought I was going to do and put Adam Pearce number five on the list, leaving you with
The Undertaker.
The Undertaker. You want someone to once again go one-on-one with The Undertaker.
The Undertaker.
Yay, spooky. And make it all happen for Patrick O'Dowd. So there we go.
You just made the list.
It's got to be Gay Spooky Undertaker.
It's got to be.
Can't be.
I get it.
It can't be American Badass Undertaker.
I love American Badass Undertaker. I do. I
know. It was fine. It was fine for what it was in the time period that it was. When it was done, it was done.
I like him when he comes out now and he still does. He rides a motorcycle and he does all that. Like, I get it. I think it fits. It also, when he makes his appearances, him coming out as American Badass at least keeps a few people from saying they want to see him wrestle again because he's not coming out as The Undertaker.
Right.
So reports today literally came out that he's now on the creative team for WWE. And it's really funny because the person who shared this on Facebook, their comment was, you know, The Undertaker has now been placed on the creative team. Just another sign that Hunter is cooked. And I had to laugh because if you gave me the option to pick one person who would have put The Undertaker on the creative team, I would have said Triple H. Like, right. It's not a sign that Hunter is cooked. They just want Hunter to be cooked because, again, people will believe anything if they want it to be true. So I did find that funny. But I got to do my job here.
You just made the list.
Number one, Kurt Angle. Number two, JBL. Number three, Booker T. Number four, Hiroshi Tanahashi. Number five, Adam Pearce. And number six, The Undertaker. Congratulations to all of you.
You just made the list.
The list of legends you'd still want to see wrestle. There we go. That's the list. I am not playing the 3-minute warning soundbite for the simple fact that I have no 3-minute warning to talk about. So...
Fair enough.
I can't think of anything else to bring up right now, and that's just where I'm at. You know, we could talk about people complaining about Mariah May's new name. We could talk about,
yes, because that's so important to do.
Not only that, she picked the damn name. Like
speedy recovery to Liv Morgan. Is it really just a dislocated shoulder that she gets popped out? I know we're not. I'm gonna rant here for a second.
You're good. You're good.
I don't need wrestling fans on the social medias, I don't need you to find the moment in a match and the angle of a body strike. Like, she's hurt. Who fucking cares? Like, what do you gain, little internet person, by showing Liv Morgan's pinched up shoulder or, you know, any number of other, you know, injuries, which most of the time I think of the kind of quote unquote invisible injuries or something that you don't see right away. Like when, you know, there's no hiding what happened to Sid when he fucking landed on the
yeah. Plate. Or even the recent one was Zoe Stark. Like when she landed on that drop kick and like, you could just see it.
Right. Like, but like these people that go out, and I don't know if they're trying to villainize somebody. if they're trying or what they're trying to do. But it's just weird to me that there's this obsession. Like, she hurt herself. Clearly, she hurt herself. They had to end.
They stopped the match. They literally kept Nikki Bella from coming out. Like, she was there,
right?
And they didn't even work her into an interview or something. Like, you would have thought they would have done something with Nikki Bella just because she was there. But that's how unexpected and shocking this was, that, like, they literally had Nikki Bella there, and now they're like, didn't have her do an interview because they're like, we don't even know what you're going to do now. Like, it's, you know, it's so I get it. Like, poor, you know, obviously not poor Nikki Bella. She's fine. Right. But, you know, poor Liv Morgan. It is interesting. I did see someone suggest that Kairi Sane now needs to be promoted as, like, a crippler of a wrestler, since she was the one that Zoe Stark was trying to dropkick when she hurt her leg. And then, of course, now the injury to Liv Morgan, neither of which are Kairi Sane's fault. But
see, but if you try to do that, if you try to, anytime you force a thing,
yeah, it's
just
bad.
Doesn't work.
No, I was very happy to see you. We were talking, you know, I've watched a little bit of Raw, not all of it. I watched most of it. Asuka returning made me very, very happy. Like, I knew obviously it was announced.
And winning. Asuka returning.
Oh, yeah, of course she was going to win.
With the savage look.
Right.
Like, her face paint game was on point. I did see a little bit of that.
Crying during her interview. Like, you could tell, like, she was literally crying.
Right. She was
during the post-match interview because she's out for over a year. And she's, like, 43. Like, people don't realize, like, she's not a youngin anymore. I mean, she's up there in that.
And she's been going through some shit outside of the ring, too. Like, it's not,
I believe,
like,
so, yeah.
There's been a lot going on. Yeah. Like,
what's funny about, not funny, not about that, but some of the reaction to that match was because people were pissed that Stephanie Vaquer lost. And I'm like, you're just picking something to hate. First of all, she didn't lose. She didn't get pinned. She didn't submit. Like, Raquel Rodriguez ate the pin after Rhea Ripley interfered. Like, if anything, when I saw the four people in the ring, I assumed Ivy Nile's eating the pin. Like, that was my assumption from the start, because I figured that's why she's there. Raquel Rodriguez is one of your champions. Stephanie Vaquer is on the rise. Asuka just returned. I assumed Asuka would be pinning Ivy Nile to win that match. And instead, it was Raquel Rodriguez, because we're pushing the story with Rhea Ripley and all that. And I think even before the Liv Morgan injury, I think we were going to see Raquel Rodriguez and Rhea Ripley, because that was kind of there. And they've got some, so they've put on some bangers, so to speak, back in NXT. So, including, I think it was the Last Woman Standing, or I don't remember what it was, but that sent one of them off. That definitely qualifies there too. So, see, look, we did have a 3-minute warning in the end. So, we just didn't play the song. That's okay. So anyway, that is going to do it for this week's edition of the Babyface Heel Podcast. He's Patrick O'Dowd. I am Greg DeMarco. This is the Chairshot Radio Network. For all things Chairshot Radio Network and Chairshot.com, visit that very website, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And until next time, probably next week, but with the two of us, you just never know. We will see you right here on the podcast. So enjoy the wrestling. Maybe we'll talk about Goldberg and Gunther at some point. Maybe we never will. Last time we recorded, I didn't even think about doing picks for Money in the Bank, and it was that weekend. So shows you where my brain was at. Anyway, enjoy. Watch wrestling. Have fun. That's all. Goodbye.
Acknowledge me.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariana. We call him Day Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.